So US markets are at all-time highs again. And every time this happens, the media will scream that the markets are too expensive, it's a bubble, there's nothing to buy, it's going to crash, get off the markets. But as you guys know, if you've been in the markets for as long as I have, you realize that, you know, every single year, no matter where the market is, whether the market's at all-time high, all-time low, in the middle, there are always great investment opportunities. There are always great companies selling at discounts. And that's what we want to accumulate as value investors. So the question is, are there undervalued gems in this all-time high market? Well, let's find out in this video. So investors who keep saying that the market is too expensive is because they're looking at specific metrics like the price to earnings ratio, which they say is too high compared to historical averages. And that is true. It is high compared to history. If you look at the forward PE ratio of the S&P 500, it's at 22.1 times earnings, which is above the 5-year mean of 19.9 times and above the 10-year mean of 18.4 times. But you've heard me say this many, many times, that PE ratio by itself is meaningless until you compare it with the earnings growth rate. That, you know, you can't compare the PE of the market today than 20 years ago, because companies today are growing a lot faster than they did 20 years ago. Companies today have much higher profit margins, in fact, double to triple the profit margins today than they had, you know, 20 to 30 years ago. The other thing that you must also look at is this. Yes, if you look at the overall market, it looks expensive. But within the market, if you look below the hood, you have some companies that are way overpriced. They are really in a bubble. But there are also companies which are fairly priced and some companies that are underpriced. It's like saying that all Singaporeans are rich or all Americans are rich simply because it's a high GDP per capita number. But that's not true. Within the country, you've got, you know, rich Americans, rich Singaporeans, you've got poor Singaporeans, poor Americans, you've got those in the middle. So same thing in the markets. Instead of taking a general macro top-down approach, great investors, they take a bottom-up approach where they look at individual companies and they see which are ones that are, yeah, really expensive. There are those that are fairly priced and those that are underpriced. And that's where we can find undervalued gems in this market. So if you take a look at the S&P 500 right now, this is the valuation of the 500 companies. So I got my research team, this guy Richard, who is heading the team to screen this out. So if you look at the 500 companies right now, you can see that about 160 of them are very expensive. So yeah, there are some which are really, really in a bubble. And these make up 31.9% of the S&P 500. I wouldn't touch these right now until they get cheap again. So highly overvalued means that they're selling over 20% above their intrinsic value. And then you've got 13% of them, or 65 stocks that are overvalued, selling above 10% to 20% above intrinsic value. So these are the ones that we want to put on our watch list. Some of them are great companies. We wait for the next big drop. When they get fairly priced or underpriced, we pick them up. But right now, we don't want to buy those, okay? Now, those that are fairly valued, we can look closer because they are near their intrinsic value between plus minus 10%. And there are 157 stocks within that range. So that makes up about 31% of the entire index, right? But then you've got 46 stocks that are undervalued, which means they are selling 10 to 20% below their intrinsic value. And you do have 73 stocks that are more than 20% below their intrinsic value. So this is where I find undervalued gems. And that makes up right now about 23.8% of the index. So what are some of these stocks? Well, let me share it with you in this video. These are the stock tickers. So you can see, for example, which stocks are highly overvalued right now. You've got Costco, for example, you've got IDEX, you've got Texas Instruments, you've got Tyler Technologies, you've got Intuitive Surgical, you've got Exxon, you've got Netflix, you've got Tesla, you've got, ICE, you've got Coin, you know, all really, really expensive. Okay, by the way, this valuation is of yesterday. Now, this, of course, changes. Every day the price goes up and down, so this is as of now. This would change in the next couple of months or weeks, right? Overvalued would be Apple. Apple's overvalued. Nvidia's overvalued right now. We've got, what else? We've got Blackstone. We've got Union Pacific. We've got IBM. These are overvalued. MasterCard, McDonald's, Moody's. Then you've got those that are fairly priced, again, within plus minus 10% of their intrinsic value, like Abbott Laboratories, you've got Intel, you've got Pepsi, and you've got Procter & Gamble, you've got Wynn, and so on and so forth. Those that are undervalued, you can see over there, and those that are highly undervalued, you can see over there. I'm not going to, of course, read out all the tickers. Now, again, the most important thing, like I said, is don't buy a stock just because it is cheap, because cheap crap is still crap, okay? We only want to buy a high quality stock that is undervalued. So again, how do you know it's high quality? So in the past, I used to spend hours and hours and hours to read the financial statements, the 10K, the 10Q, calculate the intrinsic value, read through hours of transcripts, read through a lot of articles to analyze the business. But now I have got Stock Oracle, which happens to be available now to the public. We just launched it to the public. My students have been using it now for about 3 months. We've got about 5,000 people using it, and now it's available to the public. So I'm going to show you how I use Stock Oracle to make my life very, very simple, and how I find whether, hey, this stock that is cheap, is it a great company? So let's take a look at a few examples. And one of the examples we can look at would be those example in the undervalued column. And for example, let's take a look at PayPal over here. You know, PayPal is a pretty popular stock in the social media community. So let's take a look. All right, so I'm at stockoracle.com. You can just go over there and you can, of course, enroll and register and use the software. Oh, futures are up right now, and currently the S&P is on a medium-term and short-term uptrend. Let's punch in PayPal and let's find out all that we can about this stock. Is it a great business that is undervalued right now? So straight away, when you take a look at this stock, you can see that the Oracle value, which is our proprietary intrinsic value, is $84. So at a current price of $69, it looks undervalued. And if you look at a chart over here, you can see that, yeah, it's gone on quite a bit. It was at over $300 and PayPal's gone all the way down to $69. So again, is this one of those tennis ball stocks? When I say tennis ball, means they'll bounce back up, or is it one of those rock or egg stocks that once they drop, they never come back? You know, it's impossible to predict the future, but looking at the fundamentals of the business, we can make an educated guess. So straight off, we can see that this business, it is projected to grow for the next 3 to 5 years. It's projected to grow at 11%, which is not too bad. And in the long run, in the next 10 years or more, it's projected to grow at 9.5%. So not super high growth, but pretty reasonable. Return on invested capital, 14.84%. Return on equity, 22%. Looks pretty impressive as well. Has got pretty good profitability ratios. And if you take a look at this chart over here, this is what we call Oracle IQ. It shows us a visual representation of how the stock is ranked based on six things, right? Predictability, profitability, growth, Oracle mode, which is the economic mode, financial strength, as well as the valuation. And if you click on Oracle IQ, you can see, again, more details, right? Where it is ranked high in predictability in terms of historically, the revenue, profits, and cash flow have been pretty predictable, going up pretty consistently. Profitability has been high in terms of the profit margins and the return on equity, ROIC. And the growth is, again, not super high growth, but 11%, 13% medium growth, not bad. And it's got what we call a narrow economic moat. Very high financial strength, solid balance sheet, and valuation is high, which means it is undervalued. Now, if you want to take a look at the specific financials, if you click on here, you can see, again, these are line charts. You can always convert it to bar charts, whichever you prefer to look at. We can always look at bar charts. You can see revenue historically has been pretty consistent, you know, going up. You've got net income that has not been as consistent, but okay, right? Net income, you can see, you know, it dropped a bit here, went up a bit there. You know, It is slightly on an uptrend, but not as consistent if you look at the net income over there in light green, okay? But it is generally on an uptrend, as you can see. Free cash flow in dark green, that has also been, generally on an uptrend, but again, not that steep, but at least it's going up. You can see shares outstanding going down, so company buying back shares. We go to company metrics, we can take a look at some other metrics. For example, gross profit margins have been falling. So that's not really that great, right? Gross margins have been falling, but at least their operating and net profit margins have been consistent. Not rising, but consistent. But this is a bit worrying. Return on equity, return on invested capital has been high and it has been pretty consistent. So that's fine as well. Now, if you take a look at intrinsic value, you can see that there are many ways to value a stock, right? You've got the discounted cash flow model, discounted free cash flow model, discounted net income, mean price to sales ratio, mean price to book ratio, price to sales growth ratio, and different stocks, they are valued best using different methods. So we have got our proprietary algorithm that calculates the Oracle value, which gives us so-called the method that best suits this stock, and then it normalizes certain numbers, so it comes up with a fairly conservative valuation. All right, but you can see if you purely use a discounted free cash flow, you know, you could argue it's worth 124 without doing any normalization. Or if you use a mean price to sales ratio, then it's worth 186. If you use a mean price to earnings ratio without recurring income, then it's worth 172. So whatever valuation method that you use, you find that it is very, very cheap, all right? And so far, everything looks pretty solid. So have I bought PayPal? No. So why? Why haven't I bought PayPal? Now, the reason is because there's one thing that kind of like fails my criteria. And to me, the most important thing is the economic moat of the business. So if you go to Oracle IQ over here, right, and you click on the moat analysis, the AI moat analysis, you can see that the AI moat gives a score of 4 out of 10, which means that it doesn't really have a strong economic moat that protects it from competition. It can be easily disrupted by Visa, MasterCard, Google Pay, Apple Pay. There's a lot of competition. So when companies have a lot of competition and there's a big threat of disruption, then the moat is weak. Okay, so generally, when I make an investment in a company, I want to make sure that the moat score is, you know, at least 6 out of 10, at least at a minimum, all right? But most of the stocks I own have a moat score of 8 to 9 to 10 out of 10, right? So because PayPal is only 4 out of 10, it is something I won't invest in. Now, I may do short-term trading as a swing trade with a stop loss, but to do a long-term investment where I, you know, close my eyes, you know, I wouldn't dare to do it on PayPal, right? And this then explains to you why, in terms of brand loyalty and pricing power, it's 5 out of 10. Low barriers to entry, you know, it's only 3 out of 10. Switching costs, 2 out of 10, because you can easily switch from PayPal to Visa to MasterCard to Apple Pay. You know, there's low switching costs, right? Network effect, 4 out of 10. Economies of scale, 4 of 10. So that this is the only reason why I won't buy PayPal, all right? Because it doesn't have a very strong moat, okay? So that gives you an example of how I do a very quick analysis. Now, let me show you another stock. So if you take a look again at this chart, besides PayPal being undervalued, another stock is Copart, CPRT. Now, let's take a look at Copart, in comparison, okay? Now, same thing, if you take a look at Copart, you can see that recently the stock has dropped quite a bit. But on the five-year chart, you can see that, yeah, it's still pretty much on a very strong uptrend. But recently, there was a drop over here. Okay, so if I go to the shorter-term one-year chart, you can see, yep, it dropped from about $64 to 40, all the way down here. And now it's kind of like coming back here. So again, this stock, the intrinsic value is $57 based on our Oracle proprietary algorithm. And now it's selling $48. So now it is undervalued, okay? So again, this is cheap, but is it cheap crap, or is it a good business? So again, same thing. I look at a few numbers. So first of all, what is the projected growth of the business in the next 3 to 5 years? It's projected to grow at 10%, and the long term growing at 10.4%. So roughly about 10% growth moving forward. And you can see return on equity 18.54%, which is pretty good. Anything that's more than 12% for ROE is a good business. Anything more than 15% is an excellent business. So this is 18.54% is an excellent business. Return on invested capital, same thing, more than 15%, excellent, and that's 18.34%. So straight away, it's got pretty strong metrics over there. If we take a look at some of the financials, you can see that revenue has been growing very consistently. Net income has also been growing very consistently. In fact, more consistent than PayPal. PayPal was kind of like up and down, right? Free cash flow, which is one of the most important things, you can see increasing very, very consistently. Again, much better than PayPal that was kind of like up and down. If you scroll down, you can see number of shares have been increasing. Why? Because they are still at the early growth stage, so they are not yet buying back shares to reduce their shares outstanding, so shares are still going up, which is fine for a relatively not as mature company, okay? But you can see they have got a lot of cash, and they have got no debt. So solid balance sheet, no debt, a lot of cash. So these are the kind of companies that I can sleep well at night because they don't owe any money. So even if interest rates go up like crazy, even if there's a financial crisis, this company will be fine. Now, what else can we look at? We can also look at margins, right? So if we look at this, you can see that now margins have also been coming down a bit. So same as PayPal, that's a bit concerning as you can see. But you can see that net profit margin more or less is consistent. So that's fine. ROE, ROIC. Now this has been falling. So it was at, 30, 25%, 28% falling. Is this something to be concerned with? No. Why? Now remember, return on equity or ROE is equal to net profit divided by shareholders' equity, okay? So if ROE is falling because net profit is falling, that's a bad thing. That's no good. That's a lousy company, right? But in this case, notice that ROE is falling, but net profit is going up. How come? They are making more money, but return on equity is falling, although it's still above 15%. It's because their equity has been rising, right? Because they have got a lot of shareholders' equity. Now, of course, if they do share buybacks or they pay a lot of dividends, then they can bring down the equity and boost up the ROE. So management can always do that. But for now, they are retaining a lot of capital in the company. As they retain a lot of capital, the ROE drops temporarily. But it's not something I'm not concerned about at all. Okay? If we look at the Oracle IQ, you can see that it ranks high on predictability, very predictable business. Profitability, it ranks medium, growth medium, moat, wide moat, and why? Well, you can click here and you can read the AI moat analysis. Now, for those of you who have no idea what Copart does, it's you can read it here, right? Copart is the leading provider of online vehicle auction and remarketing services. The company operates in a competitive industry with notable competitors like Car Auction Services and IAA. Copart has a strong position due to its extensive network of facilities, proprietary technologies, and efficient operations. Blah, 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 blah. You can go read it yourself, right? But basically, it's got a moat score of 8 out of 10. This is a very strong moat where they are kind of like, you know, the competitors are not able to easily take away their customers. The competitors are not able to easily take away their market share. So they've got a very strong moat. In terms of pricing power and brand loyalty, okay, that's not too high, that's 5 out of 10, but high barriers to entry, 9 out of 10, 7 out of 10 switching costs, 8 out of 10 network effect, 9 out of 10 economies of scale. So like I said, this is to me the most important thing. It's got a wide moat and it is undervalued. So for that reason, I have actually been buying Copart. In fact, I've been buying it almost every week. Okay, for those of you in my Ultimate Investors Playbook, and you get my daily notifications, my buy and sell notifications, you know that I've been buying this every week. So if you take a look at the charts, let's take a look at the charts. Let me just go to charts over here and just load the charts. Okay, let me put in my save tab. Okay, there we are. So if you take a look again at the long-term chart over here, you can see that it's on a very nice uptrend, right? This is the 5-year weekly candle. And you can see that this is a very strong support area. Can you see the strong support here? So previously, when it went down, it hit this 150 moving average on weekly candles. It was a strong bounce. And now it looks like it's also bouncing off this 150. Now, if I zoom in, you would see that recently it had what we call a double bottom pattern. So this is what we call a previous swing high, a previous support. So this is a pretty significant support and resistance level. The price went down and it made what we call a double bottom. So this hits many of the stop losses of retail traders, force out the stop losses, market makers collect the stop losses, and now they run the price up. So this is a classic, what we call a bear trap pattern. So that's why, again, fundamentals are strong, undervalued. I see a bear trap pattern. I see it bouncing off a long-term support. So I began accumulating a stock. This is why I bought Copart and not PayPal. So I do hope you find this insightful to see how I actually use Stock Oracle to do very quick analysis of stocks and look at both the fundamental analysis and the technical analysis to make the best investment decisions. And the best part is you can do this yourself by getting Stock Oracle. So there are a few ways. Well, you can always go to stockoracle.com right here and you can always view the pricing plans or click on the link in the description box below to get a special offer for Stock Oracle for this limited period. So if you want to watch more videos like this to see how I analyze different stocks, how I make my investment decisions, do make sure you subscribe to the channel. Thank you for listening and may the markets be with you. If you want to catch my latest videos, click on the subscribe button right now. Click on the bell so you get instant notifications once I upload my latest video. If you want to check out my online courses, go to piranhaprofits.com. We're going to learn how to invest and how to trade the financial markets and create an income from all around the world. If you want to join my live Wealth Academy program, go on to wealthacademyglobal.com and find out more about how you can learn investing and trading live online. This is Adam Koo, and may the markets be with you.